You're listening to Get Out and Drive Podcast with John Custom Car Nerd Meyer and Sean Mr. Sedan Man Cheryl. We'll be bringing you gearheads all the information you never wanted to know about cars and why they should be on the road and not in your garage. Are you ready to get out and drive?
And we're back with another episode of Get Out and Drive Podcast. I'm Sean, Mr. Sedan Man Cheryl.
I am John, Custom Car Nerd Meyer.
Today we have Blake Evans from the Sweet Patina with us. Good morning, Blake.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing good. Doing well. Doing good.
All right, so I got to ask right off the bat, where does the name the Sweet Patina come from?
Well, that's a pretty funny story in itself. So, so I'm from a family of car painters. To me, my dad is the best painter ever. And so that's what's really funny when people know we're into the patina movement right now. Uh-huh. It's like, man, your dad's the best painter around. You know, he's like, why don't you paint up all these cars and make them all pretty? And so anyway, it's kind of funny to know that's the background. But I'd actually bought a 72 Suburban. It's been years back now. I guess it's been like 2016, maybe. Okay. And it was, patinaed out, and we called it Big Ugly. That was our first patina vehicle that we had purchased to leave patina. And at the time, I had my little girl. She was 3 years old. And I would take her to Cars and Coffee in it and things like that. Well, anyway, it just became a, big ugly. So a local guy, he wanted it more than we did, and he bought it. And my little girl is like me and my dad, and we're very sentimental with our vehicles and everything. Mm-hmm. And she just lost it, just crying. And so I told my wife, I was like, oh my gosh, like I got to get another family ride, because I had a C10. But I couldn't fit, the car seat and the wife and everybody. So I was like, I got to find another vehicle that we can all pile into. So actually, my brother, Drew, he sent me a screenshot of a 57 wagon that Boris at Street Machinery had for sale. Mm-hmm. It still had the big wide whites on it. It was, cut springs, dropped down. And anyway, it just had a really cool look to it. And I was like, man, that'd be a perfect family ride right there. So a couple of weeks went by, and I was like, well, if it's still around, it's meant to be. And I got in touch with Boris. We bought the car. We had it shipped to my dad's house in Mississippi, where we work on everything. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because the car came in on a big, trailer with a couple of Jeeps on it. And it was like you had a 57 rusty 57 wagon with all these nice new Jeep Wranglers on it. And I was holding my little girl because I was excited to tell her, like, hey, we got another family car, mm-hmm. Big Ugly left, but now we got this other one. And she just cried. And she was like, that's not Big Ugly, and that's ugly, and stuff like that. And I said, well, it's patina like the Suburban was. And, in her little 3-year-old voice, she said, is it mean patina or sweet patina? And I said, it's sweet patina. We walked around it and let her touch it and talked about it. Mm-hmm. And then that just became a name around the house, where it was like, if me and dad were out there working on it, mm-hmm. My little girl should say, daddy's working on sweet patina. I want to go get in sweet patina. And the name just really stuck.
Yeah.
And
right.
So that's how the name came about.
That's a cool story.
Fantastic story.
Yeah. So you've got this 57 Chevy 4-door wagon, and you are driving to the lower 48 states with it.
That's right.
And why are you doing this drive?
Okay, so why are we doing the 48 state drive? So my full-time job is physical therapy. I do home health physical therapy. I love road tripping the old cars, and then I just really have a passion for helping people, and I guess that goes along the lines of being in healthcare and stuff like that. And, I became really close to a patient of mine. His name, was Bernard Rudler. Mm-hmm. And I would go out and I would do therapy with him 3 days a week to keep him stretched out and everything. And, when somebody has ALS, you're trying to help as much as you can, but that it's, there's no cure for it. So as much as you're trying to help, you feel helpless, if that makes any sense.
It does.
And, I would be there and I'd be talking to Mr. Rudler and everything. And then, when I would take off, me and my dad, we would do like power tour, and we'd take these trips, you know, across different states to go do car shows. And, you know, I'd honestly kind of gotten burnt out on going to the car shows and just standing around, you know, and I really took to the road trips, you know, and me and Dad would even laugh. The car would break down, and when everybody would kind of be like, y'all are crazy for trying to take that car, this and there, you know, whatever. And we would just look at each other and we're like, it's fun to us.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I know we're weird, but that's kind of fun to us. We try to break it down and fix it and keep going. And so anyway, I was there treating, or actually we were on the way home from Power Tour in 2016 in the 57 wagon. Mm-hmm. We had taken, we had already done about 13 states in it at this point. And, I told my dad, you know, I said, Dad, I really want to do something bigger than just going around to car shows. You know, I want to talk to Mr. Bernard about maybe doing a fundraiser for ALS. And my dad was like, well, how in the world do you think you're going to do that? You know, and,
right.
And I said, I want to try to make a pledge to drive 48 states in this old car. And he just kind of looked at me from the passenger seat. And he was like, do what? You know, and right then it was like, it was one of those ideas that came to mind, and it was like, I couldn't shake it. You know, we came home from Power Tour. I talked to my wife about it, and she was probably ready to just be like, shut up. Yeah, she's super supportive. That's why I do everything that I do, because she is like so supportive and makes me feel like I can conquer anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, I got to work. Let's see. I got back. I started doing physical therapy after Power Tour. Mm-hmm. After taking a vacation, in other words, and I was there with Mr. Bernard, and I said, Mr. Bernard, I said, I want to do a fundraiser for ALS. And he immediately said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, you know, that old rusty car I always show you pictures of. And he said, yeah. And, I said, I'm going to try to drive that to 48 states. And he kind of giggled, and he was like, you think that old car will make it to 48 states? I said, I don't know. And nobody else knows. So let's see if we can make it happen. And, you know, that's when I had to get the contact information to our Texas chapter for the ALS Association. Mm-hmm. I went and sat down with Catherine there at the Texas ALS Association. And I told her my idea. You know, I was like, hey, look, you know, we want to help you guys raise money and awareness for ALS. And I feel like, you know, the generous people in the car community, I mean, think about every car show people do is benefiting something, right?
Right.
A local or, you know, some kind of big nonprofit. And I told her, I said, look, you know, the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge was like the huge deal. I'm sure y'all even heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, so I told her, I said, you know, I want to create something in the car world that's kind of like that. And I said, I want to do something. We'll call it like, you know, Sweet Patina ALS Road Trip Challenge. And we'll challenge people in the car world to get out and drive their cars, you know, take pictures with their state signs, all this kind of stuff. So that's kind of how it came about. And she said, you know, I told her, I said, well, I want to do a national fundraiser. And, you know, with it being just an idea, I mean, I was basically going in there and winging it with just telling her like, hey, I want to take this old car and drive it. And, you know, anyway, she said, well, you know, we're not going to be able to do a national fundraiser, but we can help you set up a Community of Hope fundraising page on the ALS Association. So when I got on there, they helped me fill out the first one for Texas because I didn't know how to do it. Well, then I immediately figured it out. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I can go to every state in the country. And as long as I got the time to make it, like I can create an ALS, a Sweet Patina ALS Road Trip Challenge Community of Hope fundraiser for every state in the whole entire country.
Right.
And so that's what I did. I sat down and I just started going to work on creating all this, because my whole idea was, you know, if we're out driving this car and we got the stickers all over it and people know what we're doing, you know, if we're in Tennessee or Maine or wherever, people come to the car. Like when you're getting gas in an old car, it brings people in. And that's basically what we wanted to be able to do is, you know, whatever state we were in, we'd want to be like, you know, hey, go to sweetpatina.com, click on your state's ALS chapter, you know, a buck or two or five, 20, 100, whatever you got, you know, anything will help. And everything goes to the ALS Association. And whoever makes that donation, they get a tax deductible charitable donation receipt from ALS. So that's another thing that kind of helped make everything happen, because it was like, you know, hey, we're out, you know, getting the attention, but at the same time, we're telling people to go to make their donations, and then they're able to you know, get it, get their receipt and everything from them. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, we're on. Yeah, appreciate it. And we're on 42 states right now. I was really, really motivated to get this thing, you know, I wanted 48 states finished before Mr. Bernard passed away. And unfortunately, he passed away in March of last year. And that was a real bummer from losing him. But that was also when all the COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And we were supposed to be getting finished up in March, going up. We're going to go out to California and then go up into Washington. And we were going to knock out those last, at that time, it was 7 or 8 states that we had left. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to show him because, you know, it kind of exploded into what it became because he was such a motivator to me. When I would go see him for therapy, you know, he'd say, you know, what do you guys have going on next? You know, what's, you know, have you talked to people about getting sponsorships? You know, and I remember, you know, it was funny because, like, I would say, for instance, like, oh, well, I called a local Chevy dealership to see if they'd be interested in, you know, helping us, you know, promote or something. And he'd say, why are you calling local Chevy? He was like, call corporate Chevy, go big. And it was like, you know, every time I talked to him, he would just remind me, you know, he was like, you know, nothing's impossible. Like, you gotta reach out to the right people. And that's kind of what got us to the level of what we're at now, was him just being motivating to us.
Great. Very nice. And, tell us what is ALS for somebody that may not know.
So ALS, most people know it as Lou Gehrig's disease. Mm-hmm. So it's a degenerative nerve disease that affects your muscles and everything. So a lot of times that people have trouble like moving their extremities. They'll get to where they have trouble swallowing. Basically, all your muscles just start to atrophy, and sadly, the last thing to go is your breathing muscles. And like Mr. Bernard told me, you know, I would say, hey, how do you feel today? And one day he said, I feel like I've been put in a box and it's filling up with concrete and there's nothing I can do about it.
Wow.
I'm just waiting. And that just really stuck with me. And then it would be like, you know, we'd be on these long stretches of interstate or back roads or whatever, you know, and I would have logged out for like an 800-mile drive one day, you know, because I'm like, hey, we got to get from here to here. And, you know, you get in that car and you're loving driving, but at the same time, you're like, man, I'm getting kind of wanting to get out of this car a little bit, mm-hmm. right now, you know? And that, you know, him telling me that kind of just would stick with me, you know, and I'm like, dude, we got to keep going. And, anyway, so that's what ALS is. And unfortunately there's not a cure. And if you want to learn about ALS, you can go to sweetpatina.com and there's actually a link on there. You know, that says, you know, what is ALS? And if you're a caregiver, mm-hmm. If you want to know what the chapters do for you, mm-hmm. you know, if you need equipment loaning, you know, if you can't afford the equipment, they can help you get some equipment, power chairs. I don't want to say exactly what all they can get, but anyway, they'll help you out. They have a support team for like the caregivers, because when somebody gets ALS, you know, their family is battling it just as bad as the patient. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes. Definitely. It affects more than just the patient.
Absolutely. Yes. So, yeah, you can go to sweetpatina.com and you can learn all about ALS mm-hmm. from there.
Very good. Very good. You have any other cars other than your 57 you talked about, your wagon?
Yeah. So growing up with my dad being, you know, a painter and everything, you know, he had the custom painted El Caminos. He mm-hmm. did the C-10s. You know, he would drop us off at the baseball fields with a camper shell on the back of the C-10, and we would all pile out of the camper shell. You know, dad never really had like newer vehicles. Mm-hmm. He always loved driving the old stuff. So my first vehicle was an 86 S-10.
Sure.
Extended cab, you know, and dad painted it up really pretty blue for me. We had the wheels on it. Cadillac tail lights that everybody liked
yeah.
to run.
Oh,
back,
yeah.
back in let's see, what was that, the late 90s. And so I had that truck and it became a work truck. You know, that's what I drove to get through a little bit of college and everything. And that truck's really sentimental to me. I still have that. A hailstorm beat it up really bad. So, you know, dad wanted to fix all the hail dings and everything. It's got a little 5.53 LS motor. That we built up, and it's like driving on rails. It's a ton of fun. Like I said, that's one that I have that's just sentimental to me. I was dating the girl that I'm married to now, mm-hmm. but in college, everything slowed down. I remember trying to like do extra work to go back home on the weekends with dad and put like a little 350 in the S10. And we almost got it running when I came across the whole LS, movement, I guess, mm-hmm.
Right.
And I was like, dad, I'm taking that 350 out. I want to go LS. Well, that's a whole different story. And every that kind of was my last project until I got through college. I kept telling my dad, I said, dad, I want to do a C10 build. And his 67 C10 is just what I always loved. I thought that was going to be my first vehicle, but he mm-hmm. sold it to buy my sister a car. And I remember just being like, oh, my truck is gone. Yeah. So anyway, I always loved the C10s. And dad called me up one day, and he was like, hey, I got a guy that works with me. He's got this little step side of 69 mm-hmm. C10. And I was like, what's he want for it? What's it already got done to it? And he was like, well, it's going to need some work. But the price is right. And it was a project for us to start on.
Right.
And, we got the truck, or dad went and picked the truck up with my brother. And when I came in from Mississippi, it was like a backwoods redneck truck with toggle switches everywhere for nitrous. And it was beat up. And I remember looking at dad and I was like, man, this is going to take a lot of work. He was like, well, it'd be all right. It'd be time together in the shop.
Right.
Because I'd moved off to college and we were always really tight. And during the build of that truck, my mom and dad divorced. And then my dad got diagnosed with bladder cancer. So it was a big blow. Dad was like, hey, get rid of the projects, that kind of stuff, And I was just like, man, I don't want to give up on the truck build, And then my wife got pregnant with our little girl. And anyway, dad went through the surgery and everything. And, thank the Lord, he's good and healthy now. But heck, we're talking about, 6 or 7 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And anyway, when it got time to start doing the paint on the truck, I wanted to do the flat, At that point, the flat black was a really cool color.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we tested a little bit of the flat black and I was just kind of like, I'm really not feeling that right now. Well, then we pulled out some color charts and it was this flat red, this satin red that just stood out to me. And emotionally, that time in my life, I was pissed, because I was like, why is this going down with the family? Like, mm-hmm. What's going on with dad being, diagnosed with cancer or whatever. And anyway, he toughed it out and we finished it and he painted it. It's beautiful satin red. It's got an LS swap, Rush Forts, Rod Tech. I don't really post a whole lot of that on the patina page just because everybody's like, what's going on? That's not patina. So that truck, I always called it pissed off red. So when we'd go out riding on the weekends, it'd get under the lights at night in the parking lots and everybody'd be like, man, what color is that? And I'd just say pissed off red. Well, we were at a car show at Good Guys out at Texas Motor Speedway. And this guy was standing around telling people about the color on the truck. So I just walked up and I was kind of interested myself. I was like, I never looked at what brand it was or anything, but I'm learning a lot about my truck right now, listening to somebody else. And so anyway, I sat there and I just kind of was soaking it all in. Then he looks over there at me and he was like, is this your truck? And I was like, yeah, what's up, man? And it was Neil. And he was like, this is our paint. This is Vintage Flat Satin Red. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. Well, as you know, we promote Vintage Flats and we're mm-hmm. a dealer for them now. Mm-hmm. And they're one of our biggest sponsors for the 48 state road trip.
Great.
So that moment we became, we're still great friends, mm-hmm. Now, but it was so funny how I just looked over there and I was like, what's this guy talking to people about my truck for? Almost like he owns it. He knew more about it than I did. And, as far as the color and on. So anyway, that started a great friendship. So we have it's got a 67 front clip. So, mm-hmm. Everybody calls it a 67.
Right.
So we have that. And then, recently we picked up this little 67 Camaro and honestly, it was before COVID. Mm-hmm. We work with some really cool companies now, Ride Tech, Continental, HPI Customs. And I was kind of like, man, I want to build a sweet patina autocross car. Mm-hmm. And of course, everybody knows Mike Dussold with the that crazy 68 Camaro. So that's all I kept thinking about. I was like, man, I want to do a Camaro autocross car. And I have a therapy company that I've owned since I was 25. And then Sweet Patina was starting to take off a little bit. I was like, man, I really want to do the whole autocross style car. Well, then that's when COVID hit. And I was like, put the brakes on that bill really quick, like, because I didn't want to, you know, break the bank and everything. So we basically built it into this like amazing little cruiser car. We kept the 327. I had my buddy Jacoby at Betts Performance go through the tune it up. It was still running the points. This thing still had the original style tires on it. And we went through and did, you know, the RideTech Street Grip kit, the Continentals, the Billet Specialties, put power disc brakes all the way around it, and basically just left that Survivor style look with the original worn turquoise interior. And like I said, it's a 327 with 58,000 miles on it.
Wow.
With the original Power Glide. And it's a blast to cruise around town. Yeah. And
sounds like a great
car. We'll have it out. It's been a lot of fun, really. And then we turned the first gen guys upside down. We put a roof rack on it too.
Great.
And we've been riding around with these big bikes on the top of it.
Adding on to those miles that's what I like about it. I mean, you've taken a low mileage car and you're out there driving the thing like it's supposed to be. So,
right.
Yeah. I'm almost rolling over 60,000 on it right now. And I keep thinking to myself, I'm like, man, am I really rolling the miles up on it? Then I'll smile and I'm like, keep going. Yep. Let's go.
Let's do it. That is fantastic. So I know you said have you been to all of the 48 states yet? Or have
no,
you?
No. So at this point we're at 42.
Okay.
All right. And I'm sure driving all these states, you've had some issues with the car or not? Has it been pretty reliable?
We love breakdown stories.
Yeah, because we've all been in that situation where everything is great and all of a sudden you hear tink, and then next thing you know, you're sitting on the side of the road.
You know, there's been a couple, I'll call them more so like bloopers.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
if you could say that. Like I said, we had 13 states under our belt before we ever decided to do all this, but they were the, you know, kind of the states that surrounded Texas and Mississippi. So all of them had to be driven through again, right? But there was one trip where we were going to go from Texas to Maine, and I remember leaving my house at like 4 a.m. We like to start super early. I left my house up here in North Texas, shot across DFW to pick up Neil at his house, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself the whole time, I'm like, we're about to drive a 57 Chevy to Maine. Like, oh my word, that was the leg of this trip.
It finally sunk in.
Yeah, like as I'm driving, drinking my coffee, I'm like, oh my gosh, like we have a long way to go. Like if this car makes it, you know, this is going to be amazing. I get all jazzed up just talking about it.
That's
still
great.
But yeah, so I picked up Neil and we get running down the interstate on I-20. And we get right around Shreveport, and I'm like, man, the temperature on this car doesn't seem like it's right. I said, it's getting a little hot. It normally doesn't get hot running these interstate speeds with our setup. So anyway, we pulled over to check, and Goober here didn't put the radiator cap back on good.
Oh,
so we had lost
that'll do it.
All this antifreeze. Well, we have that little trailer that we keep behind the car. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, man, no problem. I got a can of it back here. It's probably like half a can or something. And so I start pouring it in and I'm like, you know, I'm like tapping it on the top. I'm like, dude, we're out. And I still don't see it. And so I was like, well, I guess we need to take an exit and go get us some more, you know, antifreeze. So we did that. And, you know, of course, the whole engine bay now is like covered in antifreeze and all this. So we were smelling it the whole way. And you're like, oh, my gosh, something else is going wrong. I smell this. I smell that.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we ended up
jumpy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gunshot.
So, yeah. So then we made it to Mississippi and we picked my dad up and our whole we were going to start Power Tour. But when they were going to go across to like Tennessee, we were going to shoot off and go up to Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it rained on us from like Mississippi all the way to North Carolina, where we met up with the Power Tour guys. And I remember driving, and we rotate driving, mm-hmm. you know, just so we can all have a little fun with it.
Right.
And it was me, my dad, and Neil. And everybody was like, man, these brakes are kind of feeling a little funny. Maybe it's because we've been driving in this wet rain all day or whatever, you know? Well, I kept thinking to myself, I was like, no, this pedal's going like to the floor. Oh. Anyway, what happened was the exhaust had kind of been rubbing a brake line fitting, uh-huh. and it just sheared it down. So we lost brakes in the back. And so we're at the hotel and we got it, you know, dog legged up and everything. And we just take a pair of vice grips and just vice it mm-hmm. and then zip tie it to the rear end.
Oh, yeah.
And leave it there.
Uh-huh.
Cause we're like, we don't want to be out here, you know, in the water fixing this thing. So we met up with all of our Power Tour buddies and we just made sure we took it easy. Well, then we went up to Virginia, and Neil had a family member in Virginia. And while we were there, his brother-in-law made a phone call to a local shop on a Sunday, and they opened the doors for us to put the car on the lift to fix the brake line.
That's fantastic.
And, you know, it was one of those things. It was like, thank you, Lord. It was walking distance to a O'Reilly's.
Right.
And we actually found an old hot rodder working there. Cause like, I was like, we got to have a brake line for a 57 Chevy. Well, and mm-hmm. he came out and helped us get the part. We got back on the road and we took off, and literally like that brake line fitting is now on a necklace that I kind of keep. It's hanging from the rearview mirror of the car, because I was like, hey, that's our souvenir right now.
That's right.
It's
a trophy.
Definitely a trophy.
We're kind of weird, but we're like sentimental about little things like that. You know, it's a memory maker. And so anyway, we made it all the way up to Maine. It was still raining. We did get to stop in South Carolina, and we visited with the guys over at the Auto Restomod on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys have seen a bunch of his videos.
Yeah.
We were able to go meet him, and that was really fun because, you know, it's him and then his kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he may have, you know, an 8-year-old running the camera or somebody else running around getting everybody mic'd up.
Yeah.
And you know, you see him on YouTube, but you don't get to see and feel the whole family environment. Sure. You know, right. That's what we like. And so I was like, man, I never knew this is how y'all really operated. You know, you got them out the back of the truck taking pictures, you know, as we're leaving out on the interstate. Yep. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. But yeah, we made it to Maine, mm-hmm. and then we shot across to Niagara Falls. And then after Niagara Falls, we were still able to drop down and meet the Power Tour people mm-hmm. On their route through, I think it was, I may say this wrong, Salina. And so we were able to intersect them coming through on Power Tour. And I remember walking in the coffee shop to see some of our buddies, you know, Pro Touring Texas, mm-hmm. and then the Streetcar Garage guys,
yeah.
or the Streetcar Garage and his wife, mm-hmm. They were there. And it was like, everybody turned around and they looked and they were like, you're already back from Maine? And I was like, yeah, dude, we were freaking rolling. You know, and so anyway, we just like stretched that car out and we just blast, and it's geared, you know, at that time it was a 350 with a 700 R4 and mm-hmm. 323 rear gears. Mm-hmm. So like I said, once you get that big heavy car on the interstate, it loves to just sit on about 80, 85
mm-hmm. cruiser.
And so I've only gotten one ticket in 42 states. So I feel like I'm doing pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That is some good odds.
Spot being there. We went to the top of Pike's Peak and we had antifreeze bubbling out of the top of the overflow jugs. Man, we just, you know,
nothing
we've
major,
been very
though.
Blessed. We've been very blessed with the way the car runs. I felt like we needed something a little bit more power and a little bit more reliability. Mm-hmm. We could go longer stretches if we went LS.
Right.
And so as a matter of fact, right now, I gave Jacoby 3 weeks to do an LS swap on the wagon. So it's actually down right now and we have to have it finished in 3 days for good guys.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But it'll just be like, it's nothing radical. Like I said, we have some things coming up in 2021 mm-hmm. that we need to be able to maximize our distance of travel
mm-hmm.
Per tank of gas. We have a 29 gallon fuel cell in it, so we can already go way further than our bladders can handle. But we want to stretch it out even further. So we're hoping to be able to, you know, reach about 500 miles a tank,
mm-hmm.
for some things we got coming up.
Yeah. So when you head out on the road, do you normally have a specific destination, a show, or some sort of event that you're traveling to?
Yeah. So we normally do, we try to do it where we're going to do shows, or we try to do it where we at least, you know, set a destination and then we have to try to get back. Cause like I said, I'm a dad of three.
Right.
My wife's very supportive, but at the same time, I run a company. You know, that's my full-time job. That's my career, is doing the physical therapy. So a lot of times when we go out, you know, that's why I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning down in the hotel lobbies and stuff, is trying to get everything planned out for the day for work back home. We don't like to be really on the road more than about a week,
right?
You know, cause like I said, I mean, I like to be home. I'm a family man, you know, but I want to do what I said I was going to do, doing a 48 state drive.
Right.
So like when we did the Gulf Coast leg, we did a family trip down to cruise the coast. When we did our trip up to Maine, it was like, hey, let's go do power tour. We didn't do any booths or anything. We went to Maine. We, you know, like I said, Niagara Falls. And then we came back. We dropped the car off in Kentucky at the Vintage Flats place. And we left it there. And we jumped on an airplane. And I had to be back from a little girl's dance recital.
Wow.
So the car stayed there for, I don't know, maybe about a month. And then we all, you know, coordinated our schedules. We added Jacoby into the mix to help us drive and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And from Kentucky, we went all the way up into, we met the ALS Association in Minneapolis. Then we shot across North Dakota, went down to Devil's Tower. See, now you got me talking.
Yep.
Jeez. So we pulled into Sturgis Bike Week the day after it ended.
Okay.
We got to go to Sturgis. We got a hotel there. And then the next morning I was like, hey guys, I really want to do Pikes Peak. We need to get up super early and just blast across Nebraska. And of course I felt the car kind of stumble on this long empty road. And I was like, hey, I better pull over real quick. You know, let's kind of see what this is. So whenever we popped the hood, the brake booster and the master cylinder were hanging like this.
Oh.
And it had broke, the bracket onto the firewall had actually broken loose.
Wow.
It like the pot metal had just like cracked.
Uh-huh.
And it was just dangling. And so we're like scratching our head and we're like, what in the world just happened? You know, the brakes, you know, they were soft. We grabbed some rope and some straps and stuff out of the back of the trailer. And basically like with three of us, we just used our muscles, you know, to hold it in place. Mm-hmm. And took a bolt out of the fender and, you know, tied it down and then got some leverage. And
yep.
I don't know, I think it was maybe Neil had like some crazy Boy Scout knot in it and was like, he was like, it ain't going nowhere now.
You then, have to hit it and say that or it will come apart. You got to smack it. This is never going anywhere.
That's right.
Yes.
So you got to remember, we just tied up our brake booster to the freaking car. And
right.
Our goal that evening is Pikes Peak, going to the summit. Like we wanted to go to the top.
Sure.
And
stopping's like half as important as going. It's fine.
Oh man. Tell me about it. And so the art back here, that's our Sweet Patina ALS road trip art from Micah Doodles at, he lives in Colorado.
Okay.
And so I knew we were going into Colorado. So of course I picked up the phone and I was like, Micah, I was like, man, do you know anybody up here, with a welder? I was like, we got some problems right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we need address so we can make Pikes Peak. So he was like, let me make some phone calls. So he says, call JJ at JJ Diesel Dogs. I think he's north of Denver. And so, of course, I call him up. I'm like, hey, man, Micah told me to call you. We got a mm-hmm. problem. He said, yeah, man, come on in. So we rolled into his shop. Never met the guy before.
Right.
Man, he was just a stellar guy. And basically, he brought out the stick welder and had his employee with him. And he said, well, is the brakes working good right now? I said, yeah. And he goes, is that where you want it?
Oh.
And as soon as we said, yeah, the whole car goes.
Yep.
And we were like, whoa, he like welded it to the firewall. Like, that's not going anywhere now.
Nope.
And so, yeah, we left the string and everything on the car even after it was welded because we're like, this is just too good of a story.
Right.
And so anyway, we bailed off and we met Rocky Mountain ALS Association.
Mm-hmm.
We got to meet the director of that. We went and met Micah. That was our first time to meet Micah in person. Just a true blessing to meet all of those guys when we did. Mm-hmm. And then, we took off to the top of Pikes Peak. We were told we probably wouldn't be able to make it to the summit because of some construction stuff. And we were just like, mm-hmm. Oh, we really need to make it to the summit. Like, mm-hmm. we're not going to go halfway up and turn around.
Right.
And anyway, we were lucky enough to make it up there to the summit. So that would probably be the most extreme issue that we had right. with the car. Like I said, the car is handled amazingly. So,
great. Yeah, you never know what's going to pop up, and you have to have your ability to make things on the side of the road. Yeah. I've had vehicles stop, and I've sent out people one way and the other way, and we have to find like a zip tie and a piece of rubber and and a string and a tin can. You know, we're making a heat shield.
Yeah, you're looking along the side of the road for stuff that's fallen off another car or thrown out of the window. Or
exactly. It is the absolute worst scavenger hunt you've ever been on the side of the side of the road with a semi. Whipping by, you got to find a can.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird, those of us that like this kind of stuff, you know. Most people look at you and they go, what do you mean you like to drive a car, and then when it breaks down you MacGyver it back together?
That is exactly correct. That's
exactly what we do.
A lot of people that don't understand, they never
fun?
Will
right. Yes it is.
yes it is. Yes. Crazy.
So you normally have the same crew with you when you're out driving? Same group of guys?
Yeah, when we're doing the big road trip, like I said, my dad, you know, me and my dad comes with me everywhere I go.
Okay.
And Neil, and Jacoby. Yeah. That's kind of the four. That's our crew of four that goes out on the trips with us.
Cool. And you've got a lot of companies that's gotten on board and support you now too, right?
Yeah. So we have a lot of companies that we help. You know, we put them on our website and everything, you know, and at the beginning of this whole thing, it was like, man, I was looking for anything, you know, if you can donate a shirt or a hat, anything that we can take to a show and sell and donate the proceeds to ALS. You know, so like I said, the car had already been drivable to, you know, 13 different states before we started this. But at the same time, it was like, you know, we're going to really need some good quality parts to make this thing work, you know. And that's when we went with you know, Continental Tires. They've been supportive of us from day one. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been working with Ride Tech, HPI Customs. If I start naming all these names, I'm gonna forget one. But yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of really big companies take notice of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And you know, they like to see that we're out, you know, we're banging this car. Like, we're not being very gentle on it.
Right.
And for the parts to handle what we're doing to them, mm-hmm. Is a statement of their product.
Oh, absolutely.
Know?
Yeah.
And so, we definitely have worked with some big companies, and growing up a Hot Rodders kid, you know, there was always Hot Rod magazines laying around the house. And I remember, you know, flipping through magazines and circling parts, mm-hmm. and, you know, trying to draw pictures or adding graphics onto a picture in the book or whatever. And now to know that some of those companies that I used to look up to are now, you know, a partner of ours, I guess you could say, you right. know, so, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Very cool. So how many miles have you put on that car during this trip?
Oh man.
Any,
you know,
any
we switched out the gauges. I have a little ledger where I keep track of it.
Uh-huh.
I think we're over 20,000 or so at this point. But that was before we switched out the gauges recently.
Right.
But yeah, I would keep a little ledger, you know, because I would try to figure out the most efficient way to get, you know, like I said, from Texas to Maine and, you know, Kentucky to North Carolina. And then anyway, I would kind of write down this little ledger, you know, and then at night when we'd get to the hotel or wherever we were going, I would sit down and I would try to remember, you know, which little highways we took and stuff, because, you know, for instances like this, you know, I like to be able to go back and talk about, mm-hmm. you know, X, Y, and Z.
You like taking highway routes or back roads and trying to find old abandoned stuff? What are you looking for on the road? Or are you just headed to the destination at the shortest point?
Oh, absolutely not. Like, to us, the journey is the fun part.
Yep.
You know, making the stops, we will stop at random places, and if they let us come in and look around, we will. Or someone will tell you to get the heck off their property. Right, and you're right. Like, oh, okay. Right. They're not nice. They're not nice, so I'm going to leave. but yeah, we love to, you know, a lot of times we'll have, you know, hot rod shops that we'll know from social media or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we'll be like, hey man, we're going to be up here in
right.
this area. We want to know if we could come by. Mm-hmm. And those are really what make the road trips a lot of fun right. to us. And that's what we've started to do. It's like, hey, if we're going to go somewhere, let's call some hot rod shops. Let's call some museums. Let's, mm-hmm. you know, for one, like it helps you keep from fatiguing because, mm-hmm. you know, when you get behind the wheel and you get fatigued, it's just like, that's not fun anymore.
Right. Right.
So, you know, by the time we rotate drivers and we go from point A to point B and visit this shop or whatever. And then of course you got to stop and take cool pictures when you're out on the road. And, I think probably one of the biggest things I'll regret on this trip is not hiring or having like a videographer or like a photography crew, mm-hmm. like following us.
Right.
Cause like I said, there's only so much an iPhone can capture. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, man, pictures never do it justice, you mm-hmm. know? And this is going to sound really weird, but like growing up down in Mississippi, like every time I heard of like New York, I thought everything was like city,
right.
you know? And so when we get up there, all I could think of was like, man, I don't want to get this car stuck in New York City traffic or be the one that breaks down and causes everybody like a 5-hour traffic jam.
Right.
And so we, you know, I'd get to the hotel that at night or whatever, and I would just sit there and I would look at the map and I'd pull it up on Google Maps or whatever. And I'd find all these back roads, and yeah, we hit country roads and back roads all through Delaware, up around New York.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. We really took the scenery out. We took some country roads that were so, there was so many twisties mm-hmm. that I was like, my arms are about to fall off. You know, I was like, if we're not going to break this car's power steering system, it's not going to mess up.
Yeah. There's some really yeah. beautiful areas up there in the New York area.
Yeah. It's crazy.
East Coast. Yeah. So I'm kind of thinking if you've taken a lot of pictures and you've got a lot of information about routes and stuff, I'm kind of seeing Sweet Patina, the book coming up after this is all done.
Right.
Well, my mind goes 1,000 miles an hour with everything that I do as far as you know, creating Sweet Patina stuff, because like I said, it's my hobby, it's my passion.
Right.
I have a career, which is therapy, and that'll always be my career. But you know, when it comes to the Sweet Patina stuff and being able to get creative, yes, I have a ledger of or a little notepad of things that we want to have come out, mm-hmm. you know, under the brand Sweet Patina. And it's all geared towards the DIY guys mm-hmm. and the road trip guys and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, we're definitely excited for what we got coming up.
Oh, very cool.
Tell us about some of your products. I see some of your patina sauce in the back there.
Yeah. So, man, I don't know where to start with that either. So let's go for, so yeah, we'll do a roof rack. So everybody knows that, you know, the old company that was making this was Quick and Easy, mm-hmm. and, you know, they went out of business. I remember calling to order a stash of these from a supplier that they used, and a little girl on the phone, she was like, they're no longer in business. That was a one man operation. I was like, what?
Wow.
Are you kidding me? I was like, do you have his name? You have his info? And she was like, no, we don't have any of his info. Oh. You know, I was like, yeah, right. Well, anyway, I ended up getting in touch with the guy that was making them. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where like I would call him and then I would mention something about the racks, and then he'd say, Quick and Easy is no longer in business. Click. And I was like, oh, that wasn't how I wanted to do this. So then I'd wait a little while and I'd call him and I'd say, hey man, you know, and I would just try to tell him, you know, like, hey man, these products don't need to just go to waste. He was gonna just he was gonna like trash it, mm-hmm. you know, trash the equipment, everything.
Wow. Really?
And anyway, so I was like, no man, these guys that like these roof racks, like, we need to keep these things going. So anyway, long story short, we're now manufacturing these here in Texas.
Right.
And we went with all stainless steel, mm-hmm. You know, hardware for them and everything, but they pretty much universal on most of the drip rail cars. Okay. As long as you're, you know, the height is right.
Right.
But then you can add a little 1-inch bar. I call them a tube holder, mm-hmm. to connect the roof. But yeah, those are really cool. We got the little logo engraved on them. Nice. And if you see the one with the fin, That's the new style. Mm-hmm. That's our style right here. So we had to change it up a little bit from his original design. So ours has, it's a little tie down for anybody. Like, we actually like to have a roof rack, and then we like to put stuff on the roof rack.
Right.
Well, then you need somewhere to tie it down. Uh-huh. Right. So that's why we put these on here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have that. And then, like I said, we came out with a full line of car detail products. Cause I used to kind of make a joke, and I'd be like, yeah, the patina car is just like a windows and wheels detail. And that's all you really need. Right? And it's like, you know, go out there, clean the windows, clean your wheels, and you know, you're ready to rock and roll. Well, from doing a lot of the car shows and everything, it got to the point where, you know, people would walk up and they had rubbed the patina on the car, you know, and
yeah,
say, man, how do you preserve this thing? It's in great shape. There's no rot or anything. So I'm like looking over at my dad, you know, and I'm just like, I don't know. We kind of have our own little way of doing it. And it wasn't like it was, you know, something that we thought other people would be interested in using. And anyway, so long story short on that, we were like, hey, let's try to do a line of cleaning products. And so we did the cleaning products, and it, you know, they can be used on, you know, show cars, patina cars, rat rods, daily drivers, whatever. It's not like it has to be patina. That's just the brand. And so we started doing that. Well, then we still had people saying, you know, hey man, what do you have anything to preserve the patina? And so, like I said, with my dad and my pep all being in the automotive industry for so long, you know, we kind of went to the drawing board with it. We started testing out our little secret recipe and everything. And we were using it on our car, and we were taking these road trips, and it was just like, man, this stuff's freaking awesome, you know? And anyway, we just kind of went with it. And that's where we came up with, you know, the patina sauce name. Mm-hmm. And it's a mixture of 20 different ingredients.
Sure.
And it'll help preserve it. If you're out on a road trip, you get in a water, you know, a rainstorm or whatever, the water will just beat up, roll off. It's pretty crazy.
Wow.
I came out here the other day or a couple months ago to wash my 57, and we had coated it up really good before, like cruising the coast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had that big storm, that hurricane, all that sand and all that jazz was going everywhere. So when I got back to Texas, I was like, man, I need to give this thing a good bath, you know? And so I got it out there, and I hooked up the power washer to it. And right when I hit the power washer to it, the water just like, it was like trying to get away from the power washer. And I was like, holy crap, you know? So it did. It impresses me every time I play around with
Very
it,
good.
You know, and it's so easy to apply it. But yeah, like we tried to go with like, you know, names people wouldn't forget, you know, like the patina sauce. Mm-hmm. And then like we have Berrylicious Bubbly, which is like the regular, like extra foamy car wash mm-hmm. soap. And then like So Fresh and Clean all purpose cleaner.
Right.
And that can actually be used like in coolers, or like we'll use it on the front of vehicles, like after road trips, you have all the bugs.
Right.
You can just squirt it down and wipe it off. That's kind of what that's for, mm-hmm. or interior. And then like we know that car guys like us, you know, we love to use degreaser.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with one called Get Gone Degreaser.
Nice.
And that one's been really good. That one's starting to take off. We've sold a lot of that lately. And then our other favorite is our spray detail, and we call it the happy ending. So
nice.
That's kind of the happy ending after the wash, you know,
right.
It kind of gives it that nice little waxed, almost like a waxed feeling.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Just real smooth. And like I said, you can use that on windows, you can use it on the exterior paint, interior. Anyway, all the products are really cool. They're very, very versatile.
Where can customers find your apparel and products?
So sweetpatina.com is where you can find everything that we do.
Excellent.
And if somebody wants to donate to ALS, where would you tell them to go?
Okay, so you would go to sweetpatina.com, and then you're going to click like the main donation link, because we're in Texas and they helped us start it, right on the homepage. Mm-hmm. You click there to donate to Texas. If you want to donate to a different state, you just click donate to my chapter or my state's ALS chapter, and then hit the drop down box. And like I said, there's like 20 something different chapters. And the cool thing is we're in like 10 different states. We're like in the top 10 of their Community of Hope fundraisers.
Great.
Now.
Very good.
So it's pretty cool. But at the same time, like there really needs to be more fundraising for ALS. Everything can, everybody can go to sweetpatina.com. And like I said, if you click on that ALS link, you'll see at the top, that's the ALS Association's URL. Mm-hmm. So when you donate, that money goes to them.
Very good. Okay. Very good.
And you get a receipt from them.
Excellent.
Very good.
We're always talking about the next generation. We're always talking about passing the torch. We hashtag a lot of stuff. What drives youth? And are you doing anything to help the next generation, to support the next generation? Because I'm sure you had mentors in your family or family and friends. Are you helping up the next generation?
I'm not the biggest social media person, you know, but a lot of times you'll have the younger kids reaching out to you, you know, and they're like, hey, man, you know, I want to do a patina build and mm-hmm. I don't really know which way to go. So we're kind of taking our time and showing them what to do. At times we'll try to work something out to where, you know, they can use our products and test out our products and stuff like that. But yeah, we definitely like to see the younger crowds get involved with the patina stuff. You know, really, if you look at the economics of it, most young couples, they're dual income families right now. Right. Everything's so expensive as far as housing or student loans and things like that.
Right.
I mean, you're still going to have your guys that are going to go out there and they're going to pay the high dollars for the paint jobs mm-hmm. and everything. And I respect that. I was fed from the paint gun. Like, I understand that.
Right.
We do not disrespect people that like other things. You know, we like them all. But at the same time, I think, you know, if you can get a kid interested in a hot rod, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times they're not going to be patient enough, or they're not going to have the money to go dishing out, you know, 5, 10, 15 grand, depending on who you get to do the paint job. You know, and it's like, if you get them into the patina stuff, you know, it's like they can go do their cool wheels, or they can put their money into the drivetrain that's going to make it a lot of fun.
Right.
And you know, get your good brakes and stuff, because, you know, a fast motor without good brakes isn't that good. But but you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when you really look at the economics of it and everything, it's like, you know, I think it's going to be around for a long time.
Yeah, I agree.
Know? Yeah, because people are finding out that they're being accepted at other places. Because I was driving cars that weren't finished and cars that were patina cars in the late 90s and 2000s. And I was always looked down upon on somebody driving around an original paint car or a car that's peeling or rusty and things. And as a 30 year plus painter, I was not on board with having a rusty car. I always felt bad about it, but it was all I could afford.
Right.
And I was kind of at the beginning of the curve. And I watched all the Shifters Car Club from California. And they kind of brought in that movement of original style, original paint, dirty, just drive it attitude. And I was very much on board with that. And the explosion of it with the C10 trucks and how everything's coming on with every vehicle now. And the fact that you can drive a rusty car, rusty looking car, next to a $200,000 billet car at Good Guys. And you and a patina car gets the same or more interest mm-hmm. than a billet car. That's amazing to me as a painter. That is amazing.
Absolutely,
to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a 68 patina C10 that I've had two people so far tell me that it's a beautiful truck. And I always look at it, it's like, are we looking at the same truck? I mean, it's cool, but I wouldn't call it beautiful, you know. But yeah, and I've got a shiny 65 Chevelle, and I got my patina 68 C10. And, you know, I can hit the C10 with a broom and knock off the big chunks, and I can take it out and drive it. And, you know, my shiny car, I feel like I gotta clean it before I take it anywhere.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, my wife and friends and people used to beat on me all the time because I'd take some vehicle to a show, and I'd be there cleaning it for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm cleaning the door jams with a toothbrush and cleaning everything. And now all any of the patina cars we have, we pull up, there's car show flyers on the floor. There's bird poo on the roof. We shut the door and go over and get a hamburger.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and just enjoy the people.
Enjoy the people. And it takes the stress out of everything.
And again, not that there's anything wrong with the shiny car.
No, there's not.
I have one and absolutely I still love not. To take it out.
Correct.
You know, I don't take it to many shows, but I do get out and drive it quite a bit. And,
right.
You know, I take it to a lot of more driving events than I do shows anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kind of got burnt out on that sitting at a show and
people
will come up and look at my car. That's kind of cool. Yeah, but you should hear it run.
Right.
You know,
that's what you can't do at a static car show is hear a car run and drive.
Right.
You know, we call it the lawn chair nationals where everybody just sits behind their car and they hang out forever.
I'm just more of a cruise night guy anymore. Right. I can wait, let the cruise get going, and I can rumble in with my Chevelle and let everybody hear it as they come in. I can leave earlier.
There you go.
Or hang around. And, you know, sometimes I'll hang around till be the last person off the lot just because I want to hear every other car.
Right.
You know,
want to hear them run.
I want to hear it run and see what it's, see what's up with it.
Excellent.
So, but well, Blake, it's been great talking with you today.
Hey, you too, guys.
Thanks for taking the time and hanging out with us today and telling us about your situation.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for reaching out. Hopefully we can see you on the road soon.
Oh, definitely. Thank you for everything you're doing for ALS. That's a big deal, man.
Yes, it is.
That's something incredible to be proud of.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Sean, in 2021, we'll be teaming up with Mekaniki.com. It's an automotive resource website based in Dubai.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. We're going to have our own little section called John and Sean's Restoration Corner, where we'll share tips and tricks on restorations. You want to restore an old vehicle?
Yeah, I think they're even going to have all of our podcasts streaming on there, so it'd be a great place for our listeners to find everything in one place as well.
Yeah, kind of one-stop shopping. You get information about restorations. Listen to us on our podcast.
That is Mekaniki.com. Mekaniki.com.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Pandora, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Like, share, give us your comments. Tag us on Twitter at GetOutAndDrivePod.
Be sure to check out our new blog on Mekaniki.com.
What drives you?